You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
It's all baseball on today's show. We've got Bubba Carpenter in studio talking about the NCAA Fayetteville Regional that starts tomorrow over at Baum Walker Stadium. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Big day here in Fayetteville. It's media day for the NCAA regional. So what happens on the day before regionals begin? Every team will go out to the site. They'll have a practice, and then all of the coaches and some of the athletes will talk. It's a long day, and we're looking forward to covering that. We're recording this a little bit earlier today as we get ready to go over to the ballpark and get ready for the media day. Bubba Carpenter here in studio with me. Do you ever go over to the media day very much? Do you go watch the other team's practice?
No, I usually just show up game day ready to go.
Gotcha. That's a little bit different here. When you saw the Fayetteville bracket, I wonder what your thoughts were.
I thought we didn't get an easy draw. I felt like some of the other teams got some easier draws, but I mean, it's
NCAA. I think some of the teams got harder draws too.
I think some did get harder ones. You know, I feel good about it though. You know, you always feel good about it because I like this team. I felt good about last year's too. But you know, you get a Big 12 team in here. You get a team like a Creighton, a Big East team. You know, anything can happen, Matt. Even and I know this sounds horrible. You look at North Dakota State. You know, whether they throw the lefty or not, I would assume they're going to throw Nolan Johnson. He's a tough lefty. Quick story. Back in the day, we're the number one seed. We didn't host here. We had to go to the Northeast, so we were in the Northeast Regional, and we faced Lemoyne. We're the one seed. They're the eight seed. They beat us. They threw a little sidearm lefty that couldn't break. I bet his fastest pitch was 78 all day. We couldn't hit him, so they ended up beating us. We had to come back through and win four games to get back through. We had to beat Arizona State, Illinois, someone else. And then get to the championship game.
George Washington
against Lemoyne. Good. Against Lemoyne. Right, and that just goes to show you that anything can happen. Lemoyne made it to the championship game, and it was actually a close game. They brought the lefty back again to face us because we couldn't hit him. So anytime you're facing a team that has a lefty ace, he's a Summit Pitcher of the Year, Summit League Pitcher of the Year, anything can happen. Now, I think we're in good shape. I think we're going to win, but – you can't just roll the balls out there and think we're going to go into a super regional. I think it's and then you listen to Patrick Ebert talk, your interview with him, I thought was really good. He is in on Kansas.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he thinks Kansas is the team to beat. And, I mean, I don't see it. There's more – we're definitely more talented. But we say all the time, the best team doesn't always win. It's the team that plays the best. We saw it last year.
Team that'll fight too. I mean, you know, and if you look at prospects, nobody has prospects that Arkansas has in this regional. But I mean, you think about Creighton; they're coming in here, they're trying to extend the career of their head coach, who's retiring. You got KU. From all I can gather, is it's a bunch of JUCO guys or a lot of old JUCO guys who, you know, they come up, and I mean, you've seen this. Those guys are built different. I mean, you got to be built different to get on a bus in Hutchinson, Kansas, and drive out to Dodge City and play four or five games and then take that bus up to Garden City. You know what I mean? It's just a different kind of person, individual that you're dealing with.
Yeah, when you go through a JUCO season or two out in that area, I don't know if you call it battle tested, you're tough.
You're hardened.
And that'll get you a long way in the game of baseball. Now, the thing they haven't seen is what they're going to see at Baum Walker if they face the Razorbacks. You know, if we win the first game, whoever we're playing at 8 o'clock Saturday night, those guys haven't seen an environment like that. I know North Dakota State they played Alabama, they played LSU midweek against LSU. They saw some crowds, but they haven't seen anything what they're going to see at Baum Walker when the – you know, when we take the field for game one, and then when we win, you know, when we win game two. So it's going to be exciting. But yeah, you're right. I mean, those guys are different. They're made different, but so's our guys. I mean, I love our team. I've said from day one, I'm 100% in on this team. I'm still in on them.
Do you remember where the 1989 Northeast Regional was played?
Yeah, it was at Waterbury, Connecticut. I'll never forget it. We were playing, like, due to the weather, we're playing games at like 6:30 in the morning. It was unbelievable, just because of the rain up there. The weather was horrible. It was cold.
Would you rather play at 6:30 in the morning or 1 in the morning?
1 in the morning.
Okay.
I'd rather just stay up. Okay. I don't even know if I slept before that game, to be honest with you. I think I stayed up all night. I slept in my uni, and I'm like, let's strap it on.
I gotta find the game story from the 6:30 a.m. game. Do you remember where your other regionals were? Little trivia?
What do you mean?
When you played, where your other regional
Yeah, I went to Wichita State the next year. 2 years in a row, we won the conference, and, you know, it was the first time to win the conference. We won it back-to-back years. We went to Wichita State, and we got a horrible draw. We were 1 seed, and they were, I want to say they were 2 seed. Mm. They were really hot at the time.
And so, you lost to Fordham.
Yeah, first game, we lost to Fordham. And you know what's crazy? We saw another little lefty, just like the LeMoyne guy. And they were both similar players. And, you know, you don't game plan for stuff like that. I mean, you don't. And I'm sorry, I was better against the Southwest Conference guys than I was non-conference. If you looked at my numbers, way better against Southwest Conference pitchers. So anyway, just goes to show you the game of baseball is different. But, you know, these guys are different than I look at our lineup. I used to say, oh, yeah, we would beat the Razorbacks. But I look at these guys, and they're really good, Matt. Mm-hmm. I think in our 89-90 team, we won over 50 games, I think, 2 years in a row. I'm pretty sure these guys would kill us because they're just that much. They're bigger, stronger.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
know we played. In 1989, you would have been the equivalent to a low A, high A, minor league team?
Yeah, probably so. Most
these guys are
89,
more.
Most our roster, just about everybody went into pro ball off that team.
And then this year, they'd be more equivalent to a double A?
I think they're close to a double A.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's what separates them. They play baseball better than a double A team. Hmm. Now, the double A team may have more talent, but they don't play baseball better than the Razorbacks play. And that's where it's at. I don't know if you go and watch any double A baseball, but it's not always the most fundamentally sound baseball.
I never enjoy myself at a minor league baseball game.
Yeah, I really don't, because there's nothing on the line.
I think when you've experienced college baseball, minor league is very boring.
Yeah,
there's no real atmosphere in the. You might go to like a minor league playoff game, and you might get something like that. Like I know that they've had a playoff series or two up at Arvest,
yeah,
where the Naturals play. But I go there. Like I went to Arvest last year. I took my son to watch Justin Verlander whenever he came through town on a rehab assignment. I was like, this is a Hall of Famer. You know, you're never gonna forget watching this. And it was just very hollow whenever you're experienced to go into a, you know, Bomb Stadium or a Bluebell Park or even at Hoover last week. I mean, it's just – it's so different.
It feels like to me everyone's playing for the name on the back of the jersey, not mm-hmm. the name on the front. When you play for the Razorbacks, you're playing for this. You're playing for the state. Right there, they're playing for themselves, and it shows in their performance on the field. I'm not knocking them. It is what it is. They're looking out for themselves. They're worried about what can I do to get to the next level.
Well, even like that game, Verlander flies in on a private aircraft the day of the game to go out and pitch that night. And then I think he leaves the dugout after the fourth inning and goes, you know, he may be home before that game.
Oh, yeah. He's home in he's in his jet. He's on his couch probably.
His jammies. You got me all off kilter. Did you go to Huntsville, Alabama for that regional?
No.
No? That was your true redshirt freshman year?
Yeah.
Like you were redshirting as a...
So 88 would have been my first year.
When Van Horn was inducted to the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame, he mentioned a story about that Huntsville regional. He said that he went... I can't remember if it was his idea to go with him or if it was Norm's idea to bring him along, but he went to the coach's press conference with the idea of you're going to go watch this to prepare you for when one day you are going through this as a head coach. I thought it was a really interesting story to hear him tell.
That's cool. That sounds like Coach D right there.
How would you approach pitching for Arkansas this week? And by the time people hear this, I don't know. Yeah, you may know who Arkansas's starting pitcher is. I remember last year, Van Horn, he did not give a starting pitcher for game one at the press conference on Thursday morning. He waited till about 4 o'clock when they have the coaches' regional meeting. So I don't know if he's going to do it that way again this year. We'll find out here a little bit later today. But if it were you going into this, how would you use your pitching staff if you're Arkansas?
I would take a guy like Landon Beidelcheese.
Really?
He's our Sunday guy. I'd put Landon out there. He didn't pitch this past weekend. He's fresh. I'd put him out there.
Is that based on the splits? Because this team is not as good against left-handers as they are against right.
Right. It's based on that. Plus, it's based on, I think, Landon, nothing phases him. I think he's going to go out there and get the job done. I think he's got good stuff. If he doesn't get it done, we've got a fully loaded bullpen of guys that can get outs. I'm just trying to think of, you know, you can look at the stats all day, and it's hard because these stats aren't against our pitchers. And I try to look at our pitchers compared to their hitters. I think we're going to get outs. They do have a lefty pitcher, Nolan Johnson. We already talked about that, you know, when he's on, he could be tough. And then any lefty to me that's got a fastball changeup combination that can get a breaking ball over can worry you a little bit. We could line out 10 times over 100 miles an hour. They could bloop 10 balls in. You just never know in the game of baseball. But I just feel like our bats, they're going to have a hard time shutting down our offense. I think we're going to score runs, and I think our pitching staff. For me, Matt, it's you got to get 81 outs. That's it. We got to figure out a way to get 81 outs. And I look at – you look at our bullpen. We if the starter can't do it, Dylan Carter, McIntyre, Gibbler, Fouch, Carter, we can get the outs out of our bullpen. Jimenez, I mean, there's – the outs are there.
Parker Coyle.
Oh, Parker. Oh, how do I leave Parker?
Everybody keeps. Can I give a little story real quick? I got my All-America ballot yesterday, and the way it works is that you submit an initial All-America ballot, and then they take, you know, the top however many vote getters, and I put Parker on my initial All-America ballot for relief pitchers. Now you put several relief pitchers on there. It's right. Not like I'm putting him the only reliever, but I put him on. But he wasn't on the ballot that I got back yesterday, so I don't know. Am I allowed to write him in, even if he's not on the – he's not going to be All-America because he's not on this ballot. And I think a lot of people, they're just going to look at those names and they're going to choose from who's available. But I got to figure out, am I able to write him in, or do I have to vote based on the names that I had sent back to me? Because I think when he has pitched this year – and what's working against him is that he missed 7 weeks or however long it was. But when he has pitched this year, he's been so dadgum good. I mean, he's been really good. I think you would be hard-pressed. Even put his numbers up, and I understand that he didn't face as many SEC teams, but put the numbers up in the games that he has pitched against Dylan Volantis.
Yeah.
And it's going to be real comparable, and Volantis is a shoe-in as an All-American.
I'd write his name in. I'd write it in twice because had he not gotten hurt, you'd be talking about it. Everyone would be talking about him. So. The guy's been he's been incredible all year, and shame on me for forgetting his name and not mentioning him. I doubt if Parker's watching, but if Parker, if you're watching, my bad. Sorry, dude. He's been good for us all year. But
Bubba's pay.
I know. but I just think that we've got the guys to get the outs, whether we get it from our starter or from our bullpen. The outs are there.
What are your thoughts on North Dakota State? And I wonder what your thoughts are, because you and I talked about this yesterday, on facing them instead of facing Little Rock as the number four seed. A lot of people thought Little Rock might come up here. My personal opinion is I think Arkansas, I think everybody's probably pretty happy that it's not Little Rock, because there's just a whole different element of tension that would come with playing Little Rock in a 1-4 game with a pitcher like Jackson Wells, who we think is really, really good.
So you just said it right there. There's two reasons why I'm glad we're not playing Little Rock. One is Chris Curry. The other is Jackson Wells. I coached Jackson Wells. He played for me for a couple of summers. The guy's a bulldog on the mound.
Yeah.
And he will find a way to get outs. And I would not want to face him in a 1-4 matchup. And then Chris Curry – the way he coaches a team, it's a lot like DVH. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They're not going to give you a lot, and they're going to fight you till the end. And so I'm glad they're not here. As much as I'd love to see those guys and see Jackson pitch in our ballpark, man, I don't want them here. I'm glad they're somewhere else, and I hope they jump up there and surprise somebody.
I get to say this because I'm not a coach. Coaches are going to say the right thing about North Dakota State, but I look at North Dakota State and they look like a midweek team to me. And so how do you balance this looks like the type of teams that you're playing on Tuesday and Wednesday with this is the team now that you're playing in the most important game you have played the entire season?
I tell you what, you get out the video from last year.
SEMO?
We lost to SEMO. And in my opinion, last year going in, I'm thinking we're playing K-State and SEMO. Those are both midweek opponents for us. Hmm. And you see what happened. Well, K-State got hot. You know, a lot of time it's not, you know, who you play, it's when you play them. Yeah. And K-State got really hot at the end. But the SEMO one was one that was really hard to swallow, losing that game.
Didn't nothing against them. Like they were them. Just totally deflated by what had happened the night before.
They were. They, I think they were absolutely deflated. I mean, you know, you got your stud on the mound.
And then the funky pitcher.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just it's tough to bounce back from that. But, you know, you got to. In the game of baseball, you got to forget the game before, the game you just played, move forward, take care of the game in front of you. And I don't think we did a good job of it. We never flipped that switch back on from the night before. And I think that's why I say this team is built different. You know, I'm doing a little thing with Steve Sullivan last night out at Mackey's Landing. And, you know, the whole team's in there, and Will McIntyre had ordered pizza. And the whole team's in there eating pizza together, I mean, as a team, on a Tuesday night.
Wednesday.
Wednesday night.
Yeah, you're all at this. We're all
wow,
at this.
Wow, my days are so
it's Memorial Day week. It's what yeah, Memorial Day yeah. does to you when so, you're yeah. off on Monday.
It's on a Wednesday night. And so, you know, they get done, and Will holler, you know, he wants me to take a picture. So I take a picture of the whole team together. And I think it's the coolest thing. And I'm out on Mackey's Landing looking in, watching the team just joke around. And I told Sully, I said, see that right there? That's why these guys are going to play a long time. They like each other. They're not only good players, they're studs, but they like each other, like being around each other, and that goes a long way.
What kind of pizza did Will buy? Did you see where it came
from?
It
was Gusano's.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it looked like they were really enjoying it. You know what's cool, though? I went in there, and I had several of the guys offer me a piece of pizza, and it was really hard, but I thought, I'm getting ready to do this special. I don't want to have pizza all over my face.
My big deal, like whenever I do – are you like this whenever you call games? Do you avoid eating for like a long time before you call the game?
No. I eat like a 10-year-old fat kid. See, I eat before the game. I eat during the game. It's a good thing that – I don't travel with a team. I'd probably weigh 400 pounds because while I'm doing a game, I'm snacking on stuff. And Phil can't do it because he's got to talk. I'm sitting over there. I got my own thing to do.
The worst thing you can do is somebody who's calling a game is – and so like whenever I call a Friday night game, I will eat a big lunch at about 11 a.m. and then I don't eat again until like 10 o'clock that night. And I don't know if you're like this, but like whenever you talk for a long time, you get really hungry. And so I'm always, you know, between – going, you know, 11, 12 hours. But the worst thing you can do is be on the air and like burping, or you have to run to the bathroom. And so I don't eat. I hardly drink anything on the days that I do the games.
Well,
I don't know if you're like that.
I guess I broke
that. I don't know that
rule.
Anybody wanted to know this. But
that's a little
inside
TMI,
baseball.
Yeah.
on North Dakota State, I mean, Johnson is their guy. What do you see outside of him on this team?
You know, they got a few guys that could throw it. I mean, you look at the numbers, but it's hard, Matt, to, like I said, compare Summit League numbers to SEC numbers. It really is. And I'm not disparaging anybody. Look, here's the thing. It's 2025. There's good baseball players all over the country, whether they're playing on North Dakota State or the Razorbacks, whatever. I know guys that – I mean, I've sent guys to smaller schools that are really good players. They weren't ready for the Razorbacks, but they're really good players. And so, I mean, you look at them and you know, they've got guys that can get outs. They've got guys that know how to play the game of baseball. I mean, they've played some good teams, so they're not going to be intimidated coming in here, I don't think. I think they're coming in here expecting to win.
Well, I mean, you think about some of the players who go to schools from, you know, it's like, where did they find this guy?
Yeah.
Well, there are guys, and I don't know if it's at North Dakota State this year, but there are schools like North Dakota State where they got a pitcher or they got a hitter or somebody who some school has evaluated through watching them take BP or watching them in a game or something, and they're going to go out and they're going to pluck them away in the transfer portal, and they're going to be like an Anthony Ianson who goes to LSU, where I can't even remember what school in California he came from, but I guarantee you nobody thought when they got him from that school that he was going to become what he became there. Paul Skeens from Air Force. I mean, he was really good at Air Force, but he wasn't like he was at LSU. To your point, there's talent all over the place that's just waiting to be mined by these big teams.
Yeah, I mean, I've run an academy, prospect training academy, for years and years, and you watch some of these guys, and there's juniors and seniors that I see that they're not developed yet, but you know that you look at them, they're going to be good players, and so we send them off to smaller schools, and next thing you know, I mean, they're figuring it out. They're developing late. I think I developed late. I was growing, you know, my senior year in college. I'm still growing. I think there's a lot of guys out there like that, you know, they're diamonds in the earth. There's story after story in the big leagues of guys that were throwing, you know, 85 when they're a senior, and all of a sudden in college they're throwing, you know, 95, 96. It's crazy how some people develop late, so.
Talk about teams and finding talent. You look at KU, and I think about a couple of years ago, that's where they got Tavian Josenberger from, or they got Stone Hewlett from there last year. Creighton, that's where Jared Wagner came from.
Yeah.
And now you get both of those teams here in this regional. You heard Patrick Ebert talk about KU. You mentioned this earlier. He's high on them. The thing with KU that stands out to me is that they're really streaky. I mean, I think it's 7 of their 10 series this year in Big 12 play. They either swept or they got swept. And so I don't know. There's a – people talk about Arkansas and consistency and whatnot, but, like, this is a whole different level of consistency. It's in a weaker conference, and it's just a lot of – you don't know what you're going to get from them from week to week.
And that worries you. I mean, to me, that worries me because I look at K-State. They got hot last year right at the right time.
Yeah.
You look at a Kansas team. They come in, they have a good week, and they're hot. Anything could happen. But like I said, when I was listening to Patrick Ebert talk, I mean, he made me give a double take at Kansas. I went back and went over the numbers and looked at some of the stats. And, you know, I mean, they do have some guys. They've got some power. They're not going to steal any bases. They've got some guys that can hit the ball. They've got a couple of good starters. I mean, you know, I would assume that they'll use Dominic I don't know how to say his name, Vogeli.
Cancellari. You talking about Creighton?
No, oh, I was Vogel. Talking about Kansas.
Vogel?
Yeah, Vogel. And then Cooper Moore, that probably see on a Saturday game two, his numbers are better than the other guy. So I don't know. I mean, you could look at it and say, wow, they've got some good starting pitching. They got a couple pitching guys in the pen that they really lean on. Breckmeyer, they lean on him a lot. And there's a few other guys that got a lot of innings, and the numbers aren't bad. So, I mean, yeah, you just never know. But here's – I think Dave said – I'm pretty sure Dave said it. Not worrying too much about who you're facing. Worry about what we're doing.
Yourself.
And I think that's the key. I think if we worry about playing Razorback baseball, I think we're going to be fine. We go out and take care of business, but if we kick a ball in the first inning – don't turn a couple double plays that we should have turned. You know, things could change. But as long as we go out and play our game, and that's what we've done all year at Baumwalker. What are we at home?
32-4.
Yeah, 32-4. So we play great at Baumwalker. I think the crowd helps. I think they're comfortable in our ballpark. So I feel great about it.
You know, and there are coaches who are going out all the time who they don't get great runs. But I think of a couple of things. In terms of Ed Service and Creighton, the one that comes to mind is when Norm DeBryan's last team went up to Wichita, and stunned everybody by winning that regional. And I don't know that I believe he told his wife on the way home from that regional that he was retiring. But there were a lot of people who kind of suspected that was the case that year. And but you know, I mean, there's there's something to be said about, hey, you know, we love the guy. This is his last year. We want to send him out on a high note. I think that's the motivation. And then you talk about playing well. I mean, Creighton, you know, I don't know that the competition they played is great, but they've won 7 in a row, and they've won 13 of 14. And they're the team that, you know, I they're an interesting team to me this weekend, kind of a wild card type.
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I heard a lot of talk about Kansas. I haven't heard that much about Creighton. But you know how mental the game of baseball is, and when you're playing for something.
Mm-hmm.
Look at some of the teams in the past that are playing for something. A guy that got lost due to injury, or a guy who got injured in a car wreck, or a coach's last year. You give a baseball team a reason to rally around something, the game's so mental, they can fight you, and they can fight you to the end, and they're not going to be an easy opponent. So, I mean, the fact that they have that rally cry with Ed Service being the last year as their head coach, 22 years, yeah, don't overlook those guys.
You know Mark Kingston is their head coach in waiting? Did you realize that?
I did not realize that until I was reading articles.
Yeah, he's the former South Carolina coach. He's their head coach in waiting. Here's a trivia question for you. Had Norm's last team, because, you know, they went to Clemson and nearly beat Clemson. They took him to game 3. And ironically enough, Brady Toops almost had a walk-off home run in that game, and it got caught at the warning track.
Really?
And then 2 years later, you know, he does what he does. He told me once that he was thinking of that Clemson game whenever he went to the plate against Wichita State in the regional in 04. But anyway, had they beaten Clemson, you know who they would have played first in Omaha in 02? They would have played Nebraska and Van Horn. Can you imagine that matchup? Like they were one win away from having a Norm DeBrien versus Dave Van Horn matchup at the College World Series.
That would have been crazy. That would have been awesome.
Would have been pretty amazing. You know, we liked Arkansas's chances the last 2 years to get through their home regional, and we were wrong both times. Is there anything about this team and this year and this field and this draw that feels any different to you than the last 2 years that maybe gives you more confidence than you had in 23 and 24? Because we both were pretty confident they were going to get through the last 2 years. Yeah.
The draw doesn't. The players on this team do. Honestly, our players do. I don't think this draw is much different than last year, to be honest with you. K-State was hot, but, you know, so can Kansas can get hot. Creighton can rally around their coach leaving. So the draw doesn't, Matt, but the players on this Razorback team make me feel different. I'm extremely confident because of the guys we have on this team. I like them. I like the mix of players, the mix of personalities. And then on top of that, they're all really good players. And I think of the guys that we're going to face, and I think of our hitters in the lineup, and I don't know how they're going to get their 81 outs. And I just don't. I feel like this lineup's more dynamic from top to bottom. I don't care if you're talking Davalon all the way down to Justin Thomas. This is a hard lineup to maneuver, where I felt like last year there were holes. There were definite holes.
I think about what you're talking about with the pizza earlier. And 23, that team was really close.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get them to get away from each other, either in the clubhouse or they were going, you know, duck hunting with each other. They were going, you know, on golfing outings. Last year, I don't think that the clubhouse was as close. And I think this year it's back probably more toward that 23 level based on just kind of what I've heard from some of the players. There's not a Hagan Smith on this team. But I think that if you were just to look at, you know, like pound for pound, there's probably more pro potential on this team than there was 2 years ago. And so now you take that wanting to play hard for each other and you add a little bit more talent to it. And I wonder if that means anything.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you this question. Would you rather have a Hagan Smith or four dudes in the bullpen you like?
This reminds me of like the old, you know, like the Saturday Night Live. Would you rather have, you know, one full-grown Mike Ditka against 1,000 miniature Green Bay Packers? You remember this?
I do remember that.
I don't know. There's a lot of value in having Hagan, but it's a tough question, and I think it goes back to there's not one right or wrong way to build a pitching staff, or to get, like you're talking about, the 27 outs throughout the course of a game. It's really hard to not have that stud ace pitcher, though. You're going to go with the bullpen.
Are you going to ask me? I was wondering if you're going to ask me.
I know you're
going to
go with the bullpen.
Yeah, because let's say your ace, and look, they're college baseball players. They're going to have days that aren't their best. If your ace, now everyone wants a Hagen Smith. I mean, we might not see another Hagen Smith for a long time. Of course, you know, we had Blaine Knight, and I said, well, we're never going to see another Blaine Knight. We had Isaiah Campbell.
The next year.
You know, so it seems like they just keep coming. Mm-hmm. And look, I love Zach Root. I mean, Zach's not a Hagen Smith, but Zach's a guy that goes out and competes. I'll never forget the play he made at home plate on that little bump play, mm-hmm. where he dives. I mean, that, to me, Zach Root went up here on my level of competitiveness.
You think that LSU player's still feeling that?
Yeah, I think so. I heard his little feelings. But anyway, I'll take the four bullpen guys. And look at this time of year. Has Dave ever had a circle of trust this big this time of year? We just named all the guys, including Parker Coyle.
Probably not. A lot of times in the postseason, there's about five relievers that are you're trusting.
I just feel like we can match up so many different ways.
But the devil's advocate there says that in some of those years when there were only four or five relievers, there might have been more consistent starting pitching. And I think that's the concern with this team is what are you going to get from your starting pitchers from week to week? That's been a consistency issue.
Yeah, but when's the last time we looked and said, we've got three guys, a Friday, a Saturday, a Sunday guy that you really trust?
Oh, I mean, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no team that gets that.
Yeah.
Iowa, I think, had it, and I don't think they're in the NCAA tournament this year. there's nobody who gets – everybody who says, yeah, you've got to have a three-man starting rotation, and if you don't have it – like, who else has a three-man starting rotation? LSU, they got a great 1-2. Yeah. They don't know who their third starter is from week to week. Nobody's got a strong three-man rotation. It just does not happen. Even Tennessee, you know, a couple of years ago, remember they had this great – they had Dahlander and they had Burns, and then they ended up putting one of them in the bullpen because he wasn't pitching well.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so even a lot of times when you think you got the three-man rotation, you don't really have the three-man rotation.
Yeah. No, I like having a strong bullpen. I like give me a couple of pretty good starters and give me a good bullpen, and I'm happy.
Dave Jorn, who was your pitching coach, a lot of people don't know you pitched.
I did. I didn't pitch. I threw. I really could have used the development center.
Hurled. Dave Jorn always talked about, like, you do not want to get your heart ripped out in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning.
Right.
And he was always a big proponent of that strong bullpen, and every pitching coach is. But I just remember him saying that a number of times. You don't want to get your heart ripped out at the end of the game, because there's a psychological impact when that happens to a baseball team the next day and days after.
Look, if you're a hitter, you want to be up late in the game with the game on the line. You always want the bat in your hand at that time. So those last three outs, those last six outs are always the hardest to get. So you got to have dudes at the back end of that bullpen that can get outs.
Some big SEC news. We'll talk about Gage Wood and his draft stock, how it's really taken off right now, and much more. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, one day about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971, committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. I want to tell you, too, you can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at WholeHogSports.com, most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports. It's got analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at WholeHogSports.com. If you go to our website today, you can read Christina Long's work from Destin down there covering the SEC spring meetings. A really interesting story on our site this morning, talking she did with Hunter Yurecek about how the Razorbacks are going to hire an outside firm to help sell the naming rights for Razorback Stadium. A lot of unique stories there from Christina in Destin. I hope you come to our website, wholehogsports.com, to read the latest. Okay, some big SEC news while we were recording this morning. Kendall Rogers reporting that Brian O'Connor has now become the front runner to be the head coach at Mississippi State.
Wow.
The Virginia head coach. Former national champion.
There were rumors about it, but are you surprised he's leaving?
I'm not, because apparently he came awfully close to going to A&M last year.
I heard that.
And Virginia, remember, they were supposed to be really good this year. Like, they were the number 3 or 4 team in the preseason, and it just didn't work out for them. So I don't think I'm surprised. I suspect that Mississippi State is going to put a financial resource package, not just for him, but for a staff, for recruiting, everything together that Virginia may not do.
Well, that means trouble for the SEC.
It's like when Sausnagle came into the league.
Because when he leaves, I would assume they've got some good players. I have a feeling some of those players are going to come with him. She could be a new team to beat there, Mississippi State.
It's amazing how good SEC baseball continues to get, mm-hmm. and the types of coaches that keep getting attracted to come in here. I mentioned Slossnagel, Jay Johnson coming to LSU from Arizona, where he had a lot of success. At some point, you just wonder, it's like how strong can this continue to get?
Hey, everyone wants to play in the SEC. Just look at the regionals. The best baseball is obviously played in the SEC, mm-hmm. the best coaches. And like I said, there's good players all over the country, but I think the best players – look, if you're a good player, you want to play against the best competition. You want to face the best pitchers. You want to face, if you're a pitcher, the best hitters. This is where they're at in the SEC. So dudes want to come play against dudes.
I can't get over A&M hiring Michael Early last year. And I know they went after O'Connor, and they probably went after some other big names. But when you see that – even South Carolina, I don't know if Paul Menary's not going to work out there, but, I mean, South Carolina goes and hires a national championship coach, and Texas obviously hired a championship-quality coach in Slossnagel. And, now you see what Mississippi State's doing. It's like, how do you go hire someone who does not have – I cannot understand the outside-the-box thinking from the Aggies when it came to hiring him. And maybe he works out. But I just tell you, this year is a real red flag, I feel like, for them.
Okay. I think the reason they hired him, or you look at the players.
They wanted to keep the roster.
Groviac, I think a lot of those guys, Lavalette, I think a lot of those guys had a lot to do with that, where, hey, if you don't keep Early, we're out. Mm-hmm. We're going. Yep. We're in transfer portal. We could have had Lavalette playing for us. Of course, I like our center fielder, so, But, yeah, I think that had a lot to do with it, Matt. I think it was more the players came together and said, this is our guy or we're out of here.
I've always liked Lavalette. Him playing with the broken finger in Hoover, holy crap, that was something else. And I was sitting there. I stayed. I don't know if you stayed for the second game. I did that night. I mean, he got a sack fly with a broken knuckle.
Yeah, and he drove in two of their runs.
Yeah.
So it's incredible because I had surgery. See that finger? Right there?
Let's not do that to the camera.
Well, I'm just showing you my finger where I had surgery. I don't know what you're thinking. I had surgery right there. And look, I had shoulder surgery, never even took an Advil. I had surgery right there. And I've never
you had
heard,
the
so,
pin put in, right?
I had the pin so put
pretty
in.
Pretty much same thing.
He had a pin put in. I can't imagine playing a game the next day. And, I don't know. I can't imagine it. And, trying to hit. Because I was hurting. I was on the couch hurting. And it basically took me 2 years to come back from that. It really did. I still don't have the strength in this hand, but I've still got the pin in there. So for what he did, man, if I'm a scout, I'll be like, I want that. I already liked him. Now he's my favorite player.
I liked him too. I think that's going to help his I think it's going to help his draft profile a whole lot. Hey, did you see what happened in Austin yesterday? Have you seen their outfield?
Uh-uh.
Look at your phone. I just sent you a text. The center, like the batter's eye and pretty much the entire center field fence got knocked down in a hailstorm. And so they are now scrambling today. They've got construction crews out trying to get this all put together again before their regional starts tomorrow. I mean, you talk about bad timing.
Wow.
It's not insignificant either. I mean, it's a pretty pretty mangled mess there at Dish Falk.
That is a mess. So that's the center field's batter's eye, right? That you're looking at?
Yeah.
That thing's gone.
Yeah. How do you find, like do you think you can go out to the local Ace and find a batter's eye or the material to put one together in a day?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't have any sympathy for Texas. I hope no one was hurt in that.
Okay, but it's not just Texas. You got three other teams that are affected by this, too.
Why don't we go play somewhere else, then?
I hear Bluebell Park is open if they want to go over to College Station this weekend.
I was going to say that.
Somebody did mention that Round Rock, the Express, is in town, you know, but I don't remember the whole Missouri State thing about how you can't move the ballpark once you've said what your ballpark's going to be.
Yeah.
So
it would be funny if they went over to Bluebell. That'd be hilarious.
Nobody thought they'd see Jim Schlossnagel coaching postseason baseball in College Station again. Hey, when you see the other SEC regionals, I wonder, were there any that stood out to you?
Yeah, you know, I was looking at that and it's some interesting matchups. I mean, I think Vandy's going to win theirs.
Oxford is the one that stands out to me.
Yeah.
Ole Miss has got Georgia Tech coming in. They're the ACC regular season champion. And they've got Western Kentucky coming in. Western Kentucky is a 46-win team this year. And I always – I don't know if I say worry – but I'm always real leery of the teams who had to kind of go the extra mile, so to speak, in Hoover, like Ole Miss had to do. Mm-hmm. They played 4 games in 5 days. And how that affects you the following weekend. And so with Georgia Tech, this is another deal where Danny Hall, their coach, this is his last year, very good coach. I mean, like one of the really great coaches. They may have not had the success the last 10 years or so. But you think like in the 90s and the early 2000s, that was one of the teams to beat in college baseball. Well, they had players like, I think, you know, one Veritek, and he played there, and Garcia Parra, he played at Georgia Tech. I mean, these are guys who played for him, I believe. And so he's going out. I think Georgia Tech is a sleeper to get to Omaha. Now, they may go 0-2 and be like, look at that guy. But think about it. If they go through Ole Miss and they win, you know what that sets up? A super regional? In Athens against Georgia potentially. But the other thing is that Georgia, I think that's the other SEC regional where I look at the home team and say, you got to look out. They got Duke coming in. I think Duke is a really good 2 seed. And then Oklahoma State's the 3 seed there. They've really underwhelmed this year, but we've seen what that program can do, especially from an offensive standpoint, if they get hot. So I don't know. I think Georgia Tech is a team to watch out of Oxford.
What about OU? I think if OU can get past Nebraska without having to use Witherspoon, that's a great matchup, them versus UNC.
But I bet they use Witherspoon to have to get past Nebraska.
You think so? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't have a lot after him. But
I think Florida, you got to throw your guy in a 2-3 game.
I think Florida could come out of their regional, too.
Yeah, easily. That's Coastal Carolina.
Because I don't care. I think this time of year, Matt, you can throw the records out. And Florida's been really good. And that's a team I would not want to play. And another team I wouldn't want to play is obviously LSU with their 1-2 punch they have. That's a tough regional. Whoever gets matched up against them in a super regional, that's a tough matchup.
Tennessee is another one. Of course, you know, and they're opposite of Fayetteville. A lot of people think Tennessee is going to win that just because they're the regional host. Wake Forest, I mean, I watched them going to Tallahassee earlier this year, and they didn't play complete 9-inning games. They won like 17-2 and 12-0. I mean, they whipped them for 2 games. That's a hard place to play, and I think that's a more disciplined Florida State team than it is Tennessee. The other thing to watch is that if Tennessee has to play Cincinnati, Cincinnati's like the number 2 stolen base team in the country.
Oh.
Like 128 stolen bases this year.
They're going to run crazy.
And Tennessee obviously has trouble holding runners. And so I think Tennessee should be the favorite to come out of Knoxville, but I think that's a that could be a really competitive weekend there.
Yeah, I
think Wake is really good. I think Wake has underachieved this year.
I picked Wake Forest coming out of that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Is that just wishful thinking on your part?
No, I mean, I'd love to see Tennessee come here. I think a super regional, us versus Tennessee, would be awesome. Of course, you know, you're looking at 4.5 hour games, 9-inning games, but you know, hopefully they're going to put a stop to that 0-2 timeout where they got to go get a new helmet. That was absolute crap. By the way, different subject. That's one of my highlights of the year is Will McIntyre striking that dude out after he goes and gets a helmet. On an 0-2 count, and just all the other stuff. I loved what Will McIntyre said after that. I think he said something like "Go Hogs" or something to the guy after he struck out. I can't remember something like that. I could read his lips. It's what it looked like. But I think Wake Forest could possibly come out of that. Should be fun. They got to beat Liam Doyle though, but he's proved that he's beatable the last two outings.
And then Mississippi State's the 3 seed in Tallahassee. I think Florida State is the team to beat there. But then you got Northeastern, the number 2 seed, and they're 48-9. They've won like 27 consecutive games.
Right.
And we saw them come through here 4 or 5 years ago. They got a good team. Tom Glavin's brother is their head coach. They can always pitch. They can run. But here's what I think about Mississippi State. Remember when Gary Henderson took them to the World Series in 18? You know where they started? Tallahassee with an interim coach. You never know. Maybe lightning strikes twice, and they come through there. Okay, so moving on. Talking about back to Arkansas. Gage Wood, I was really surprised to hear this. I was watching the selection show the other day, and they had Kylie McDaniel, who's ESPN's draft guru. And he said that a lot of scouts and front office people think that Gage Wood could be this year's guy that comes out of nowhere. It has a good postseason and all of a sudden is a really big-time draft pick. And I was looking at his rankings yesterday. He has moved Gage Wood up to number 21 in his Major League Baseball draft rankings. Vahiva's number 14. Baseball America still has Gage at number 94, but that's up from number 191 the last time that they updated it about 2 months ago. So obviously there's a lot of chatter about him, and I'm sure that there's a lot of differing of opinions based on which GM and front office you talk to. But all it takes is one, right, that really likes you. And so now all of a sudden there's a lot of spotlight that's being put on Gage Wood going into this postseason because he's that guy that's rocketing up the draft boards.
So here's the thing. So one of my favorite quotes of all time is Joe Torre saying the game has a heartbeat. And you look at all the analytics and one thing that's not on there is what's inside a guy. And I don't know if you've talked to Gage Wood lately. When you talk to him, he's so intense. And that spills out on the field. I mean, he is ultra intensive on the field, just crazy. Like there's a fire inside him to get you out.
That rooster song that he walks out to is like that's a real life anthem. I feel
it really is. That'll get you fired up, kind of make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. But I tell you what, he pitches from a low center of gravity. I view everything from the batter's box. He pitches from a low center of gravity. That fastball has the appearance. I know it doesn't rise, but it has the appearance of a fastball that rises. So when he pitches above the top of the zone with that, he's got a splitty. He's got to bury that curveball a little bit more. Got a good cutter that he does. I don't think he uses enough. He's got a good changeup. I mean, he's got all the weapons. He's a guy that could be really dangerous at the next level. I think he's got a chance to be very effective. He's a different look. Look at most of the pitchers that you face are these big 6'4", 6'5", guys throwing downhill. He's a totally different look, Matt, and it's something that's hard for a batter to adjust to.
Jay Johnson said he thought he had the best curveball in college baseball.
Mm-hmm. I think it's nasty. When it's on, he just – every once in a while he floats one up there and it hangs. But who doesn't do that?
So what did you see the difference between him? Because when he pitched against Florida and LSU – or Florida and Texas, I mean – it was nasty. I mean, it's as good of a 7 innings as we've seen from any pitcher this year. And then when he pitched against LSU and Tennessee, he got his pitch count up, didn't get real deep into those games. What did you see the difference in him in those, you know, those first two versus those last two? And what do you think he has to do to maybe be more the Texas level Gage would this weekend.
I think for him, I think if he can locate that fastball around the top of the zone, he's tough to hit. He's really tough to hit. Not how many guys have caught up to his fastball at the top of the zone. He's got to be able to locate it up there. That sets up the rest of his pitches. He can tunnel that breaking ball off of it. If he pitches down in the zone, he can go down in the zone. And his fastball at the bottom of the zone still has ride on it, still has carry. You think it's going to drop out of the zone and it stays in the zone. I still think he's more effective at the top. But at the bottom of the zone, he can use his changeup off of that. I just think he's tough. And on the days that he's struggled, he hasn't been able to locate that.
Think about Kansas. You know, they've seen some good pitchers this year, like Tommy Lepore at TCU. Talk about All-Americans. That was one that I thought about putting on the starting list. But they've seen some velocity. I don't know that Creighton and North Dakota State have seen the type of velocity that Gage and a lot of the other arms out of the Arkansas bullpen can throw at them.
I don't think so. And I doubt that any of those teams have seen a Gage Wood fastball. His ball, it plays different. It's 96, 97. He's hit 98. A few times, but it plays faster than that, the perceived velocity, because he's got a quick arm. And like I said, it's a slow center of gravity. So that ball just, you think you're on it, and next thing you know, you're swinging underneath it.
Let me ask you this. This is day 12 out of 13 that there has not been a game. They played Tennessee on May 17th. The only other game since then was against Ole Miss down in Hoover. How does that affect a team? And how do you stay – because baseball is so much about repetition and just kind of staying, you know, active. How do you – like how do they avoid rustiness, I guess, when they come out tomorrow when they haven't played very often in the last 2 weeks?
That worries me. That's the one thing that really worries me is the fact that you can do all the reps. Now, I think DVH and his staff are really good at simulating game time experience, but there's nothing like stepping up to the box against an opponent or the pitcher having a different opponent. They don't want to face each other. They face each other all fall and spring. That's the thing that worries me, Matt. I'm not going to lie to you. It's that, you know, it's been they haven't had a lot of live at-bats, or the pitchers haven't seen a lot of live hitters in the last couple of weeks.
And these other teams have.
And they have.
Creighton and North Dakota State, they went deep into their conference tournament. I think Kansas played twice in Arlington. And, I mean, that's not a whole lot more, but it is one more game. It's, you know, one more – like they have played one day more recently than the Razorbacks have.
I think baseball players don't like days off. I honestly hated days off. And the rules were different back then. I mean, there were times we'd go on a stretch. We played 28, 30 days in a row because of rainouts and stuff like that. I never wanted to come out of the lineup. A day off to me, I came back the next day feeling rusty, just one day. So I can't imagine this long of a break. I mean, these guys – but they're foaming at the mouth. They can't wait to get this thing started.
What did you think about what you saw in Hoover?
Disappointed. I was disappointed in our approach against Riley Maddux. And look, I'm a glass half full guy. I try to stay as positive as possible. I didn't like our approach against him. We played into his game. When you're facing a sinker slider guy, there's a certain adjustment you have to make, and we didn't make it. And I'll tell you real quick, I know we're running out of time. Bill Robinson. So I spent 7 years in AAA baseball. It's a sinker slider league. I'm a left-handed hitter. For years, I went up there looking for a two-seam fastball away, sinker away. And Bill's like, Bill came over from the Phillies organization, like, why are you swinging at that? And I said, because I know he's going to throw it. And he said, what's the job of a two-seamer away? And I said, well, to get it out. And I said, exactly. He said, wait for him to make a mistake. He'll make a mistake. As a left-handed hitter, he told me to hunt the ball up and wait for him to make a mistake and hammer it. He said, get on top of the plate and hammer it. As a righty, he said, the only way to do it is to back off the plate a couple of inches. He's running that fastball. He thinks to the inside corner of the plate. He's running into your barrel. You hit it left center over the scoreboard. And we made that adjustment against two-seam guys, and we freaking hammered it. I felt like we didn't make the adjustment. Now, I'm not knocking the game plan. I have no idea. I wasn't in the hitters meeting. I know that Nate Thompson, Bobby Warnes, they put together a great game plan. But I don't think the guys executed. Love the guys. I think we had a bad day, and I think we had a bad approach at the plate. And we got to do better.
The defensive miscues in the top of the first inning, does that carry over, do you think, at all offensively?
With this team, no. Okay. I think sometimes it might. Now, I do think you look late in the game at a couple of Vejiva's at bats. I really felt like he was trying to atone for that error because he knew that error was big. Cam Kozel, you know, not turning two there. You know, I felt bad for Root on the mound. They caught him. You know, muttering some stuff. You can't do that as a pitcher. I love Zach Root, but you know, I saw Hobbs talking to him in the dugout. I'm sure they addressed that. But you know, it was a first inning day all the way around. I think they knew that first inning. But it goes back to me. You hit that ground ball to Vejiva 99 times out of 100, he's going to make that play. I think he's on a different dirt surface, and that surface plays different than Baum Walker. I think Baum Walker, the guys do a great job of getting the field in perfect shape. Exact amount of water. Vejiva knows exactly every bounce that's going to make. I think it was a different dirt surface. Not making an excuse. That ball came up on him a little bit at the end, and he just didn't make the play. But that right there is a difference in the game. That was a long answer, but sorry.
Have you ever seen a nastier outfield collision than those two guys from Ole Miss?
No, it was scary, and I never heard how Mormon's leg is. Did you find out anything about his knee?
I don't know anymore, no.
No, I don't know. And boy, Cam was – I felt like Cam needed an oxygen mask when he came around third base. He was running out of gas. But, yeah. But you know, it was a good job. But you could see it coming from the start.
Oh, that was terrible.
You could see them running towards each other. They both entered their dive at the same point, and that's – I don't know that I've ever seen a worse collision. I know Fayetteville High had one 4 or 5 years ago. Second baseman going back, right fielder coming in. A guy, you know, messed up his face really bad. Don't remember his name, but that was a bad one. You could hear the collision, and that collision, I could hear it in my headset. That's how violent that crash was.
That was scary.
It really was.
It was very scary.
You know, I hope the dude's okay. I hope Mormon's okay.
I was shocked that the center fielder stayed in the game because I thought he was the one who took the worst of the. I mean, I legitimately thought at first that he had been knocked out.
I did too, because he didn't move. How about Mormon though, getting up? Because I've seen guys in the big leagues make that same, and in the minor leagues, pro guys just lay there. They don't go get the ball, and the dude runs around the bases. How about Mormon getting up, hobbling on something in his knee? I don't know, torn ACL, whatever it was. But there was definitely something wrong with his knee. He hobbled over to the ball and was able to flip it in. I thought that showed a lot.
I mean, you could tell it was bad. You had Corey Wood, who's Arkansas's trainer, and Brad Reeves, who's the doctor in the dugout. I mean, they're both standing right there at the edge of the dugout, getting ready to run out there as soon as they can. And then, obviously, Ole Miss's people are running out there. It was scary. It really was. I'm glad both of them got up from it because anybody who says baseball is not a contact sport, not a a tough sport on your body, they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Hey, it'll beat you down. I remember going to my very first big league camp in the Yankee organization. We're all sitting around, and I can't remember who said. I want to say it was Paul O'Neill said, "Guys, enjoy today. It's the last time your body's going to feel good. You're going to be 100% healthy the rest of the year." One more thing on Hoover. I'm just glad we got out of there with no one getting hurt.
Mm.
We didn't play that great. I thought our pitchers come out of the bullpen and did real well. I thought Zach would have been good had he got that double play ball. I think Zach would have been good. His stuff looked really good first inning. But I'm glad we got out of Hoover healthy.
I asked you earlier, would you rather play at 1 a.m. or 6:30 a.m.? Would you rather play at 2 p.m. or 7 p.m.? Those were the options for the regional, and Arkansas's taking the 2 p.m.
I like that. I like the 2 p.m. That way you get out there and you get the game over. You don't have to sit around and wait. And, you know, those late games are going to wear on you. Saturday night's at 8 o'clock, Sunday's at 8. I don't know if you saw the times. But
you have to take a nap beforehand?
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. but, yeah, I like – in the beginning, I wasn't a big fan of it when Dave opted for the 2 o'clock game, but I totally get it now. These guys can get up, go to the field, do their game prep, watch the videos, the hitters meeting, pitchers can do their thing, and they can play the game.
And he talks about rain delays, too. Remember the Arkansas-TCU situation a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you want to take the earlier game. You don't want to be the team that's waiting on the other teams to play after a rain delay.
Yeah, no, I like it. I think DVH, I mean, I think that's genius to do that. And
he said that Wayne Graham, the longtime Rice coach, was the one who kind of talked him into doing that.
Yeah. I know the fans don't like it because there's nothing like a regional game Friday night at Baum Walker.
But as you're battling shareholders traffic coming out of Bud Walton Arena. Yeah. So, that's how it is every year.
Yeah, but look, you got to do what's best for the team, and that's what's best for the team.
Carson Wiggins had surgery. Thoughts?
We
don't know what – number one, we don't know what it was. We don't know if it was Tommy John, if it was a brace. We just know he had something done on his elbow.
You know what? I'm glad. I'm glad because, you know, whatever's in there, get it fixed. I was worried. A lot of times if you kick the can down the road, you're like, well, it was kind of a strain or whatever. You know, I'm glad whatever it was, they got it fixed and, you know, get him healthy. The key is for him. I mean, the guy's going to pitch for a long time in the big leagues. Carson Wiggins is built different. Nothing against Jackson. Carson's built different at this age. That dude is going to pitch in the big leagues for a long time. He's just got a special makeup about him. I've watched him kind of grow up in the game, pitching on some of our prospect teams, and I like the guy, so I love him, and hopefully get that thing well and be ready to go.
Van Horn said hopefully he can pitch for them next season. If he doesn't, I don't know that we're ever going to see him in a Razorback uniform again because he's going to be a big-time draft prospect in 2026. And obviously anytime you have surgery this late on your elbow, it's I think it brings into question whether or not you can pitch the next college season. Let's get out of here on this. Arkansas is kind of – I'm not going to say they're the favorite to win – but you look at all the sports books, which I know you wake up and check those every morning. They're the team to beat in the sports books. Saw that D1 baseball had three different people who picked them to win a national championship. Heard Mike Rooney on the selection show the other day say he thought they might be the most complete team in the tournament. Chris Burke made some similar comments. It's weird to see the number three national seed kind of being thought of as the favorite, but I think it goes back to this year. There is no favorite. It's just as wide open as I can ever remember things.
So some of the guys, like the D1 baseball guys, what are we ranked in D1 baseball, 5 or 6?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I haven't even checked this week. So, I do know this in the coaches poll this week. North Carolina is number one. They're the number 5 national seed.
I know. So to hear guys, we're ranked 5 or 6 in their poll, yet they're picking us to win the whole thing. To me, it makes no sense. The two teams in front of us, we swept.
Mm-hmm. Vanderbilt,
6-0 against them. Yep. I mean, so.
But then they went 1-2 against a couple of teams behind them.
Exactly. I mean, go figure. But that's why I don't put. I honestly, and I love some of those guys. I really do. But and I love reading some of their stuff. But I don't put a lot of stock in that, you know, and I'm disappointed that there was a guy that couldn't even pronounce Vaheva Aloy's name. That kind of disappointed me too. But you know, there's a lot of guys out there, but I don't know if that's your job, you should know how to pronounce a dude's name. Sorry to get on your boy, but yeah,
not on my boy. I gotta tell you, I didn't know how to say Aiva Arquette's first name until this week. He's one of the best players in the country.
Yeah,
I think there's something to be said about players who are just kind of outside of your purview.
Honestly, I don't know anything about that guy. I know he's good. I've heard his name.
I got some football quarterback names I want you to say. Yamaliava, Uyangalale.
Andale? I can say that.
Yeah. We have some fun with those during the football season.
Well, I got some names for you from baseball. I mean, we can start talking about Crotchfeld. there's a lot of good SEC
Zach,
names.
Right? Yeah, Zach Crotchfeld.
Yeah. Pretty good pitcher.
All right. Good stuff. You can hear Bubba tomorrow. He'll have the call of the game with Phil Elson. You guys are going to be on the air at 1:30 tomorrow for this Arkansas-North Dakota State game. We're going to be back with another podcast tomorrow. Christina Long will be back in town. We're going to talk to her about everything that she learned this week down at the SEC spring meetings in Destin. Looking forward to that. Hope we'll see you there on our podcast. And later today, lots of coverage from the NCAA Fayetteville Regional at Baum Walker Stadium at wholehogsports.com. Have a great day, everybody.